You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. I'm back with another episode of How To 20-Something, and this one is super exciting because it is the 52nd episode, which means that How To 20-Something has existed for one whole year. And in the podcasting world, this is a pretty big freaking deal because only 11% of podcasts reach 50 episodes, and here we are at 52, one entire year. Happy birthday, How To 20-Something, and I know I wouldn't be here without my regular listeners, so thank you guys for tuning in every week. Thank you for telling me which episodes you liked the most, and even thank you to those who have popped in every now and then. I can only see how many people listen to the show and where in the world people listen, which is cool to know that we've gone global. So if you're listening and you're not my mom, my sister, or my close friends, then please let me know you're there. I want to connect with you. I want to get your feedback. I want to listen to your requests. Help me elevate the show to its next level as we go into year two of being a podcaster. And because we are celebrating one year of being on this platform, I thought I would share my personal life-altering moments and lessons that have shaped me into the coach that I am today and help qualify me to be the resource for any young adult out there. I've given bits and pieces of my story sporadically across different episodes, but I think it would be beneficial for you to hear what I've grown through and learned since becoming an adult myself. I'll be diving into my different life categories of health and nutrition, career, relationships, moving out on my own, being a newborn adult during the worst time possible, and the lessons I've learned along the way. Part of the reason why I want to share my story with all of you is because I always get asked why I became a coach and how I got here and how I have this wisdom and knowledge and experience, and I think there's great reassurance in knowing that you're not alone with what you're experiencing and that I didn't get to where I am today without my own struggles and downfalls. Now, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect, nor do I claim to have all the answers, but I also know that if you don't know my story and you just see Happy Jess skipping around town, because yes, I enjoy skipping as it makes me feel happy, then you'll be quick to judge me or honestly, even worse, feel insecure around me because you don't see the whole picture of who I am and what I've been through. I became a coach because I was once a deeply struggling 22, 23-year-old, and I thought I was the only one experiencing these thoughts and struggles, and that something was wrong with me. And it wasn't until I got myself out of my major struggles did I realize that we're all struggling in our own ways. So I became the resource I once needed and at times still need, so you don't have to figure it out on your own. So here we are. Who am I? I am Jess Diamond. I was born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give you my whole backstory, but let's start with one of the first defining moments in my life, or I guess in my adult life. And that was when I was 20 and misdiagnosed with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. We could even go back a little further because being in college and surrounded by a ton of other females means the topic of bodies and insecurities comes up a lot. So you start picking up on the disordered eating habits of those surrounding you, thinking it was now normal, and you never ate too much during the day so you could eat a big dinner at night. And the not much during the day was never full meals, but rather starve yourself till 10, then eat dry cereal like Fruit Loops, Frosted Flakes, Cheerios, Lucky Charms, and with that breakfast, have an apple with peanut butter or a banana. Basically, a lot of sugar and little to no protein, and I was a cardio junkie, so my body started doing its job of yelling at me to clean up my act, and that showed up in the form of irregular periods. We're talking bleeding for a few hours every 2 weeks. So I went to my mom's gyno, and she ran some tests, did an ultrasound, and found one cyst. So she diagnosed me with PCOS, and her solution was to put me on birth control right away to help with the symptoms. She also kept calling it my disease. She would say, with your disease this, and with your disease that. And to a 20-year-old, that is horrifying to say I have a disease, because a few months prior, I was otherwise quote-unquote healthy. But I was naive, so I didn't question the doctor, and birth control seemed like a smart idea. Only it made everything worse. And we talk about this a little bit in the hormone episode from last week, I believe it was. But this gyno failed to ask about my nutrition, because if you don't know, PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome and is basically your body's way of not processing sugar properly. So it is a form of prediabetes and is commonly found in overweight or obese women. I was about 115, maybe 120 pounds at this time, so I can assure you I was not overweight, but I also didn't know any of this, nor did I take it upon myself to do research about it. I just kind of accepted, this is the way my life is now. But back to the birth control, because that didn't fix anything in my lifestyle, I wasn't seeing any improvements, and I actually felt more uncomfortable on the pill as it made me bloat, and it still didn't alleviate my frequent period symptoms. My mom then sent me to her nutrition coach to clean up what I was eating, since I was home that summer, and I guess maybe my mom could see that I wasn't making good choices with my food. I didn't really know how to eat. I would go hours with not eating and then eat like a whole bag of popcorn and an apple and think I was good and healthy and then eat a normal dinner later on. Like I said, disordered habits. But my mom's coach put me on this crazy strict diet, and it was very little to no carbs, grains, starches, and sugars. I was basically eating eggs, meat, and veggies, and some fruits for 2 months straight. Then after the 2 months, I was allowed one cheat day, and let me tell you, I would go ham on that cheat day. I would wake up at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, which for a college student is crazy early, and eat an entire family-sized bag of kettle corn. I would go get an acai bowl after that, and really just eat any junk food that came my way, to the point of making myself sick. By Saturday evening, I would be lying on my bed, curled up in stomach pains, but it's what I had to do, because the following 6 days was back to extreme restriction. My disordered eating was only getting worse, since now it was extreme binge and restrict, but this is what a professional told me to do. In her defense, she didn't think I would go so off the rails, so I don't know, maybe it's my ADHD brain, or frankly, a normal human reaction of depriving a 20-year-old of food she's constantly being surrounded by in her sorority and apartment, because discipline can only hold on for so long. Anywho, this timeline was about July to December in 2017, and during this time I was on birth control and hating every moment of it. So I did probably the worst thing someone could do in this situation and quit everything cold turkey. I was like, screw it. This is not a way to live. I can't party with my friends or go out to eat with them. I felt like I was missing out on some crucial college experiences, and it wasn't fun. It was very regimented, and life isn't supposed to be that regimented. So I slowly had to learn my very first life lesson, and that is everything in moderation. During this time, I became so inflamed because of all the extremes my body was put through. I initially lost a few pounds with this diet and then gained it all back, plus more. I didn't look good. I was super self-conscious of my body. I was getting a lot of stomach aches since I destroyed my gut microbiome, and overall did not feel good about myself both internally and externally. I could no longer eat pastries or junk foods without getting a stomach ache, and was slowly learning what actually made me feel good. And I kept some habits that I developed from the extreme diet and ditched some others, but regardless, my body was not responding well. That next summer, I went abroad, which is probably one of the best things I could have done because the food in Europe is so much better. And when I returned home, I got right to the gym with the goal to learn how to lift weights and get stronger and tighter, since I still had some extra fluff on me. Only this brought me right back to the disordered eating of 1,200 calories a day, and if I went over, I thought I was going to get fat again. And mind you, I was never really that fat, but I was also the skinny kid growing up, so my perception of being fat in my body was distorted. Which brings me to milestone life moment number two, breaking four bones in my ankle. Because I was depriving myself of basic nutrients that my body needed, my bones became frail, and one wrong move on an indoor soccer field in the wrong shoes caused four bones at the base of my ankle to just peace out. The treatment plan: 6 weeks in a non-weight-bearing cast and 6 weeks in a walking boot, followed by a ton of physical therapy. This physical therapist saved me because he taught me how to properly strength train my lower body and do so consistently. He taught me how to squat, deadlift, and lunge, and had me on a 5x5 routine, so 5 sets of 5 reps. I got those newbie gains and I was loving it. It also mainly forced me to go into the scary part of my college's gym, and that was the weightlifting section, which at my school, the big weights, the scary part, were all the way in the back. So you had to walk past the cardio equipment, past the basketball courts, past the offices, past the locker rooms, turn the corner, and finally you have reached the weight section. And since I was doing that 5 sets of 5 reps of each exercise, I was living at the squat rack and resting a lot in between sets. So I would use that time to look around and see what other people were doing. Then I would go try something out at the smaller gym that contained mostly freshmen, because by this point I was in my senior spring. Anyways, because I was lifting, I had to fuel myself better, and not to mention that my appetite grew due to the additional muscle on my body. But it still didn't click in my head yet that being afraid of food is more harmful to you than eating too much of the right foods. I had a lot of work to do with unlearning my previous relationship with food, and that took years, so stay with me. But because I was now weightlifting much more frequently, my curiosity around personal training entered the chat, and I thought about becoming certified after graduation since I didn't have a job lined up yet, which we'll get into later. My boyfriend at the time told me it's pointless to waste your money on this type of certification, and it takes a long time to complete. For reference, he was an athlete and knew he wanted to go into physical therapy school and had taken some classes that resembled a certification, or so he says. So, I listened to his input because I trusted him and didn't become a personal trainer. Yet. Which brings me to life lesson number two. If you want something, it's on you to go get it. Don't listen to the background noise as it's merely a distraction. Instead, I carried on with overtraining and undereating, but not undereating enough to break my bones. Plus, the weightlifting was strengthening my bones at the same time. By this point, it's the summer after graduation, and a lot of my friends plus my boyfriend were all staying in Gainesville, and because I had no job and nowhere to go, and a lease that wasn't up until the end of July, I stayed too. I would wake up and walk 2.5 miles to the gym, do a 90-minute workout, and walk 2.5 miles home, and the whole ordeal would take about 5 hours. I believe I mentioned this in the overtraining episode, but I had nothing else to do, so I figured why not? I didn't know that I was overtraining or that this lifestyle was actually toxic. I was just filling my time. I would tell myself that once I got a job and got into a good routine, I would have better habits around movement and also wouldn't feel so inclined to snack throughout the whole day. But for now, like I said, I had the time to kill. I spent that entire summer repeating that same routine, getting ghosted by places I interviewed for, and really just started not enjoying my relationship anymore. My boyfriend was amazing at first. I guess that's why it's called the honeymoon phase, but I was a school year ahead of him, and we didn't know where I was going to end up with my career, so he started to pull away. Only I didn't know he was strategically doing so at the time. I just thought he was becoming shitty, and as a result, I was getting ready to leave him. Except it was my first relationship, and I know relationships require work and communication, so I kept saying, okay, one more week, because again, at this time in my life, I was so unsure and insecure about my career situation that I didn't want to lose someone that was part of my support system. Even though he really wasn't all that supportive of what I was going through and how upset, stressed, and depressed I felt because I had no job lined up. And for me, going home was not an option. Yes, my mom said I could come back and live at home, but her and I butted heads hard during this time of my life, so we kind of both knew that would not end well for either of us. And right before, like we're talking the night before, my week-long family trip to Alaska at the beginning of July, he broke up with me. For one, I returned his six-month anniversary present and was also like, damn, I was going to wait until after my trip to leave him, but he beat me to it. Now, I have no boyfriend, no job, and nowhere to live as the end of my lease was encroaching. Panic was setting in, and finally, I got the call that I was being offered a job, and it was at the most unideal company I could have ever imagined for myself, but it was a job. I was an interior design major who specifically didn't want to go into retail design, and this job was in a satellite office 30 minutes outside of Orlando where there was only one other employee who was 65 years old and part-time, and the line of work was retail, restaurant, and gas station design. I remember in the interview they asked me what retail store I liked the most and why, and my answer was Nike. So if that gives you any idea as to one, where my focus was, which was in the fitness world, and two, my knowledge of the retail industry, then I don't know what will. But I guess they were desperate to hire someone to maintain connections with Disney, and I was desperate for a job, thinking I just needed my foot in the door, then I could go anywhere I wanted. Bringing me to the third lesson I learned the hard way, because isn't that how we learn all lessons? But anyways, this lesson was you absolutely need to do an internship in the field you think you're interested in. I couldn't land a job after graduation because every firm didn't like that I had no actual in-office experience. My school's program had you do an internship the summer before senior year, or you could choose to go abroad and that would count as your internship. And that was the only time you could go abroad with them. I wanted to travel and experience that part of college, so I chose to go abroad. And our professors assured us and reassured us that those of us who went abroad, they would help us land jobs afterwards. Those professors lied because I asked every single one of them for connections in the industry, and all of them said they no longer had any because they had been out of the working world for so long and had been teaching. So the five of us who chose Europe over an internship struggled to find work after graduation, and everyone else got hired on by their internship. If I could go back and do that part differently, then I would choose to go abroad through my minor, which was business administration, and not through my major. But I also know that if my life didn't unfold in this way, then I wouldn't be where I am today. But an internship would have also given me a glimpse into the work I was pursuing and soon realized that it's primarily a desk job, which is what I was trying to avoid when I picked that major. Anyways, I took this job and was hopeful. I chose to live in downtown Orlando and commute 30 miles each way on I-4 every single day so I could at least have fun and friends on the weekends. I moved to a new city where I didn't really know anyone and found two random strangers to live with in an apartment. I had my sister's best friend about 25 minutes away and two girls who I knew from school but just wasn't close enough with to reach out. And the very first week of living on my own in my big girl apartment, my apartment flooded. And it was a milestone moment because it was Jess's first adulting mental breakdown. This is where it was a good thing that no one else was in the office with me because I got a call from my roommate that water is pouring down from the floor above us. And I was crying. It was fun times. But back to the work I was doing. By the end of that first week, maybe the end of the second week, since the end of the first week was chaotic with the flood, I had the thought of, this is it? This is the next 40 years of my life? There's no way. This is boring, and this is not at all what I thought it was going to be. But I didn't know what else to do, and everyone in my family and all of my friends accepted this way of life. They all picked a career and stayed, so I thought, maybe this is just what you do. Maybe if I don't absolutely hate my job, I'll at least make friends and try to recreate the community I had in college. And those first few months in Orlando were fine. I made like two friends by going to a meetup group called Young Professionals of Orlando. And I also went back to Gainesville almost every weekend for game days because I still had some friends there and my ex, which we were still in contact since the relationship didn't really end on bad terms. And you know, he was my first love. Those things are hard to let go. Anyways, I'm content with my life. I'm not really stressed. I'm in a good routine. And by the end of 2019, my ex and I were back together trying out long distance. After that holiday excitement died down, I got hit with the January blues because I suddenly realized I absolutely hated where I worked. There wasn't enough work for me, so I was bored out of my mind, and the commute was god-awful, so it was time for me to go searching for a new job, even though I was only about 4 or 5 months into this position, which is fine. It's okay to give something a try and leave when it doesn't work out, but I was scared, or I guess not scared as much as I felt bad for leaving them since I was the only one manning this office, little 22-year-old me, bringing me to life lesson number 3. There is never going to be a right time. At the end of the day, the company you work for does not care about you. In their eyes, you are replaceable, especially when you're still a newborn to the adult world and at the bottom of the corporate totem pole. So I began going to interviews in February, and there were 2 places I was looking into working at, but we had multiple rounds of interviews to go through. I think you can probably forecast where this was going, as that was February 2020, because in March of 2020, the whole world shut down and the places I interviewed at went on a hiring freeze, for good reason. My company, being Canadian-based, had different protocols for the pandemic than American companies did, so I was the last person to start working from home. You all might remember it being like around March 14th, and for me, it was March 27th. I even remember calling HR and asking them if I could work from home the week before that because my office shared elevators and bathrooms with all these doctor's offices and lab testing places, and I felt unsafe because of how unknown everything was at that point in time. And Louise from HR told me, "You're young, you won't die." So I had to keep going to the office for that week while everyone else with a non-essential job got to stay at home. Finally, I was told to bring my laptop and belongings home and begin working from home on Monday morning. But this was short-lived because by Tuesday afternoon, I was pulled into a meeting with HR, my boss, and the VP of the company to tell me I was being furloughed for the next month. When you're furloughed, you're still able to accrue seniority with the company, but you're not receiving any pay. So you're unemployed, but there's no gap in your resume. And thus began my downward spiral. This is where I get personal, so bear with me, but I vividly remember the end of that Zoom call because yes, my company used Zoom before everyone else jumped on the bandwagon, but they told me as soon as this call ends, I am to turn off this computer and not to turn it back on until I'm told to. So I closed it down, stepped into the hallway of my apartment building and called my mom, hysterically crying as I had just lost my first adulting job. And it was a job I didn't even like. My immediate thought was, I lost my reason for getting out of bed every day. And it was a very similar feeling from when I was struggling to find a job the summer prior. Yet here I am in the same predicament just a few months later. For those of you who don't know why this thought came to my young mind, it was my father passed away when I was 13, and his last year of life, he lost his reason for getting out of bed in the morning, which was taking me and my sister to school. But since we changed schools, it didn't make sense for him to drive us anymore, or basically to get out of bed and join the rest of society. And one of my biggest fears was having that happen to me. And so began my month-long quote-unquote vacation, where everything was shut down, the Florida unemployment website was a piece of garbage, so I couldn't fill out an application without it crashing, and I was watching way too much TV. Oh, and I also downloaded TikTok and began that addiction. I did have the wherewithal to not drink my sorrows away, but I was a mess regardless. I would go to Gainesville every now and then to be with my boyfriend since there was nothing else for me to do, and finally by mid-April, my unemployment application went through, only to later find out that it was being rejected. So now I was getting no money from work or from the government, and I didn't qualify for the stimulus checks because it was based off of 2019 taxes, and my mom claimed me as a dependent that year, even though I was living on my own for the second half. I am very fortunate that my mom told me not to touch my savings during this time and that she would help me with rent and groceries. My rent was like $550 because that was before apartments got greedy. And a friend of mine had just graduated law school and connected me with her lawyer friend who was in unemployment law. He took my case pro bono because neither of us knew why my application was getting rejected. I thought it had something to do with my company being Canadian. Maybe they didn't file something that they thought they didn't need to, but really had to for me. And what ended up happening is that there is a very specific formula that qualifies you for unemployment. And I've mentioned this in my unemployment episode, but basically with this formula, I was $1,000 off from meeting unemployment, meaning had I began this job 1 week earlier, I would have qualified. But you know, life doesn't always work out that well. It builds character. I learned a lot during this time of my life, and it's really the piece of my story that formed me into being an incredible coach for other people in their 20s. This was the true struggle bus moment. But by the end of my month-long furlough, or early retirement, as I started to coin it, I had to reach out to my company because the contract that I had signed agreeing to this furlough said it was over tomorrow. So I reached out to my boss to ask what was happening and if I was expected to work the next day. And she said HR would get back to me with an email. And at like 7 p.m. that night, I received an email from good old Louise telling me my furlough was being extended at least another 12 weeks. My new return to work date was mid-July. I remember nervous laughing slash crying when reading that email, but I also knew that the way I was living over the last month was not going to be good for me to continue with long term. So I thought about what I could do with my time, and this is when I began reading self-help books, my first one being You Are a Badass, as that's what my roommate Jennifer had on hand. If you haven't read it, highly recommend. My friend Kevin lent me The Alchemist, so I read that one too, and I began that personal training certification despite my boyfriend telling me that it's a bad idea and a waste of money that I don't have. But I made a goal for myself to complete the certification by the time I was forecasted to return to work and ignored his doubtfulness because I learned the first time around. So I got to work. I got into a routine. I set rules for myself of no TV until after dinner time, and I had to study for a certain amount of hours and work out and go in the sun and read, and I had structure in my day again. And right after I started my certification, my lovely Facebook algorithm fed me a trainer's wanted ad for an outdoor fitness boot camp. You know how things work out in very specific ways? Well, in January of that year, so 4 or 5 months prior, I wanted to go meet some more people and saw a free fitness bootcamp class pop up, and I went to it. The ad I was staring at was for that exact same company. And I inquired and said I just started my certification, and they got back to me and had me start training with them to be a trainer. By July of 2020, I still heard nothing from my job, and my boyfriend went from a 2-hour drive away to a 7-hour drive away as he moved back home, but I successfully completed my personal training certification and was finally receiving unemployment assistance. Things were starting to turn around for me, and in August, I was told that one of the trainers, since this bootcamp was franchise operated, was stepping down and I could take over his location. This was the best news I had received in months, and I was ready to go all in to being a trainer. I loved it. I loved the feeling of how good people felt at the end of my workouts and how much they loved the workouts I was writing for them. And I called my mom to tell her this news and how excited I was and ready to take on this franchise, to which she responded something along the lines of, "Why don't you go try to find a real job again?" Mind you, my relationship with my mom was still not good. But to hear those words come out of her mouth, the mouth of the woman who growing up told me to shoot for the stars and dream big, just broke my heart. And basically said, dream big, go after those dreams, not that dream. But because she was paying my rent for the last almost 6 months now, I listened to her and found a new job at a residential architecture firm and told the outdoor boot camp that I would love to continue subbing in classes, but I was unable to take on my own location. By mid-September, I was back in a 9-to-5 and told my old job, who I never heard back from, that I was quitting. The difference with starting this job versus my original one was I went into this one with the mission to get out. It was only a matter of how and when, but the more I continued to sub in for the boot camp, the more depressed I felt because I wasn't able to do what I loved as often as the other trainers. And then whenever there was a lull in my day, I felt my soul being sucked out of my body because I knew I could be doing something more with my time and life in a way that made a difference, instead of designing pretty homes for rich people. I started to do some research about going back to school for a different degree, more related to health and fitness, but knowing I had zero prerequisites for anything in that realm, I decided that would be an extremely expensive adventure. My mom told me about her coach, the woman who put me on an extremely strict diet just a few years prior, and said to contact her about what she recommends for a coaching certification. And towards the end of 2020, my life was turning around. My relationship was surviving long distance, my career was steady, and I was exploring how to leave the 9-to-5 life. The biggest struggle during this time was actually my roommates. Without getting into much detail, I was slowly becoming very sick of the two girls I was living with. They were filled with drama and lies, and one of them would leave for 3 or 4 days with a boy she just met and expect me to care for her dog without asking me or paying me. And basically, by January 2021, I knew I had to get out of this apartment, even though my lease wasn't up until August. And within the span of 1 week, I found a new roommate, found an apartment to move into in the most amazing area, found someone to take over my current lease, packed up all my belongings, and got the hell out of there. It was pure chaos, but man, my mental health immediately improved now that I was living in a much safer and more secure environment. Life lesson number 4. If you don't like what you're currently experiencing, it's on you to change it. Once I was settled again, I decided it was time to begin my coaching certification. It was officially time for me to start making moves towards a future I was excited about. In April of 2021, I knew that when my lease was up the following March, I was going to leave my job and move to Charlotte to pursue my business. No one believed me at first, but I kept repeating it over and over, and my mom got on board. My sister even stood up to my grandparents when they doubted me behind my back, and she said, "If anyone could do this, it's Jess." And my friends were rooting for me too. My boyfriend, on the other hand, was not supportive at all. He questioned my every move and told me that this didn't make sense. Why would I leave a stable job for the entrepreneurial world? And this stable job, mind you, had horrible benefits, horrible pay, and by this point in time was in office all 5 days. So I really wasn't leaving much behind. His parents were not supportive either. They very much put this doubt in his head, which he then projected onto me. Luckily, I was so sure of myself and my dream that no amount of doubt imposed on me was going to deter me from this adventure. Our relationship had already begun to get rocky, as I felt ever since we got back together at the end of 2019, he didn't love me the same. He had already set an expectation on what he's capable of in our relationship, and he never got close to that level again. And that compounds. I really started thinking about our relationship and if he was my person, and something that really bothered me, as shallow as it sounds, was if you looked at my Instagram profile, you would know I was in a relationship. And if you looked at his profile, you would think he was single. And here's why it bothered me. We were long distance, and he was getting approached by girls. Oh my God. One time, a girl asked him out on a date, and he went. He let her pay, and then at the end of the date, told her that he is a girlfriend. Y'all, my book club is reading the book Attached right now, and when I tell you that I used to be the most secure person, but his actions and the way this man made me feel over the course of 3 years turned me into someone who is so anxious. And I could go on and on about how terrible of a boyfriend he was, but mind you, we were in our low 20s, and both of us had so much growing up to do still. I had just experienced a ton of growth in the prior 2 years that he didn't, and that also created some disconnect between us. But this brings me to life lesson number 5, and it's something that I'm still working on learning, and that is know your worth. He would tell me I was shaped like a door, that if I gained 5 pounds, he would break up with me, he would play connect the dots with my acne, he would throw me under the bus to his parents who already didn't like me very much and made no effort to actually care for me. People ask me why that relationship ended, and I say there were a lot of reasons, but honestly, the biggest one was that he didn't believe in me. Lesson number 6 is who you surround yourself will either lead to your greatest success or your greatest demise. You need people who believe in you no matter what, because there are going to be those moments when you experience self-doubt, and your center 5 need to be there when that happens. Anywho, from April to October of 2021, I was completing my certification, subbing fitness boot camps, working full-time, working with 3 clients online for free, all while juggling a terrible long-distance relationship. My certification makes you be the client first, and I think that's what helped me to finally leave him. I was holding on to him for so long because I knew that come March, my entire life would be changing, and I just wanted a piece of stability and familiarity to hold on to. But I reached my tipping point, and I was done. He was no longer providing me a sense of stability or security and was actually adding to my already stressful life. And a few days before Halloween of that year, I FaceTimed him and ended things once and for all and never looked back. It takes a lot of strength and courage to leave someone who has been a part of your journey for the last very significant 3 years. But in a sense, I think he saved me during the pandemic. He gave me an escape, and I definitely needed that. And everything happens for a reason. This relationship taught me a lot about myself, what I want, what I am unwilling to put up with, and that I'm going to be just fine on my own. Plus, the entire long-distance relationship brought me closer to my best friend Katie, as she and her now fiancé were long-distance as well, and those are tough waters to navigate on your own. It's why I made an episode on long-distance. Finally, March of 2022 came, and I packed up all of my belongings, turned in my keys to my office, hopped in a U-Haul, and embarked on my biggest adventure yet. A new city, a new business, a young Jess full of hope, and a fresh start. I immediately hired a business coach because if you hear any successful entrepreneur talk, they all say how important it is to find a good mentor who has already been in your shoes. And I'm going on year 3 with my coach. I quickly integrated my new life in Charlotte as one of my best friends from college was already living there, and he introduced me to many amazing people. I was hoping that I would have clients right away since this friend was a practice client and well-connected, but that didn't happen. Instead, I got a friend group, which is arguably just as important, if not more. My life in Charlotte was better than I could have imagined. That first year was amazing. I had a social life again. I felt like I was back in college since everyone lived about a mile or so from one another, myself included, and I was having fun. Business was a slow growth, but I made sure I had enough savings to support me during the slow growth, as that's to be expected when you're just starting out. During this time, I was figuring things out. I was figuring my community of people, my schedule, my lifestyle, my dating life, everything. And things were going fairly well for this newborn entrepreneur. It wasn't until the start of year 2 of living in Charlotte when things took a turn and I was headed right for another massive life lesson, bringing me to number 7. People are going to come and go in your life, and you're never going to know if they're going to be here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. I made a whole episode on this topic, but my best friend of 8 years, the person behind the main reason as to why I moved to Charlotte, completely abandoned me. I have tried to look at the situation from every angle possible, and it is so shitty to be left with no answers because we had a little tiff. I was feeling left out, and then he crossed some boundaries and lied to me about what was going on, and we sorted things out face to face, clearly communicated both of our sides, hugged it out, and left the conversation with he was going to let me know what else he was doing for his birthday that upcoming weekend, since I was already not invited to the boat day that, come to find out after the fact, had like 20 or 30 people on it, most of whom he was barely friends with, yet his friend of the last 8 years, me, was not invited. Anyways, like I said, he left that parking lot with the ball in his court of he was going to invite me to other birthday festivities, and I never heard from him again. Now, losing one friend, that's tough, especially when it's your closest friend. But he was the leader of an entire friend group. So as a result, I lost just about everybody. Yes, they all very well could have reached out to me on their own accord, and they didn't at all. 4 months for that entire summer, and that speaks to their character and to what my relationship with them actually meant. As a result, I fell into a deep depression that I didn't even realize was happening. It wasn't until I felt a week of happiness in August did I realize, oh shit, I've been depressed for who knows how long. But I would spend every weekend of last summer on the floor of my bedroom, hoping, waiting for someone to invite me somewhere, as I didn't have the courage to make the plans myself out of fear that they already had something planned with this ex-friend. It was also out of embarrassment that if that person was busy, then they would know I had zero plans and was a loner. And now I'm in therapy because of what happened last year. Because life lesson number 8 is you need to surround yourself with your support system. This is outside of friends and family. It's the people who are fully there for you, like a therapist, a coach, a mentor, someone who can help guide you through the most confusing time of your life. However, once I got in control of what I was doing to myself, my social life, and my mental health, I then had to relearn how to make friends. And that is a very important skill to learn and what a lot of people come to me for help with. We all want our sense of community, and I'm not gonna lie, it's hard as shit to build it from scratch. I took the easy way out when I moved to Charlotte and I got caught with my pants down. So in August, I started my self-help book club. I joined kickball and I was asked to be a speaker at the Power of Voice Charlotte. And there is one very crucial commonality between my book club and the speaking event, and that is my friend Bree. She coincidentally asked to join my book club at the same time she was asked to be part of the same speaking event, and we clicked instantly. Because yes, making friends is hard. Some people, it takes a lot of consistently seeing, but there are those examples where you meet someone and you're immediate best friends. I am only able to recall two moments in my life when that has happened. And Bree is one of them, and Katie, who listens to every episode, and I've mentioned her on here many times before, is the other. And now fast forward to a year later, and I have some friends from my old group and new friends from the one that I built, and they know who they are. But I specifically want to shout out Bree and Caitlin, because we're a trio, for sure. Like I said, who you befriend in this phase of your life is critical to your happiness and success. You can't do this thing called life alone. We're social creatures. We crave intimacy and belonging and community. When you have that core group of people in your life, including a significant other or your mom or dad or even sister or brother, you're then able to feel more adventurous because you're secure and dependent on the people who are there to catch you if you fall. It's like when you're at the park as a kid, and maybe you wouldn't have jumped to the monkey bars that first time without your mom or dad right there to catch you so you didn't hit the ground in case you missed. But your group is dependent on you. And so you need to do the things you enjoy and talk to people while you're in that setting, giving yourself something in common right away to establish connection. And now that brings me to the present moment where I'm still working on my dating life, but I have friends. I'm still working on making more as well. I have two gyms that adore me and the feeling's mutual. I go to field day on Sundays and play ultimate frisbee in the park. I'm doing speaking events a lot more frequently. I have a thriving business. I eat a ton of food and know how to take care of my body. And I am the person, the coach, the friend that I am today because of all of my different experiences that happen back to back to back. I wouldn't wish these experiences on anyone, especially in the time frame that I endured them, but it overqualified me to help you with whatever it is you're going through. And to know that I'm still a work in progress, I've just already paved a pretty solid path for my 20-somethings to follow in regards to their health, their friends, their dating life, their boundaries, their career, and their desire to want them to make the most out of their life. Bad things are inevitable, but they come with important life lessons. Most of the time. And they're always not something you should feel you have to struggle through on your own. Speaking from personal experience, white-knuckling life without a support system is going to keep you stuck in your current situation for far longer than you need to be had you sought out the resources to help you through it. And I am that resource. It's why I have this podcast. It's why I show up every day in my life and in my business because I was a struggling 20-something-year-old and I found the hacks behind life and I want to help you do the same within the context of your life. But that's my story. That is who I am based on the last four years of my life, very crucial 4 years that molded me into who I am, the experience and wisdom that I have today. We'll say 7 years because the first thing I brought up was when I was 20, but I would say from the moment I graduated college to right now, so much happened. But if any part of my story resonated with you, if you are a 20-something listening who is going through a hardship or who wants more from their life than what they're currently experiencing, then I invite you to hop on a call with me and we can talk about what's coming up for you and if I'm the coach to help you, but I kind of believe I am. Not kind of, I do believe I am the coach to help you. Otherwise, this concludes another episode of How To 20-Something, officially marking this as 1 year of this community. If you liked what you heard, let me know. And please share it on social media or send it to a friend. Tag me at coach.justdiamond if you share it online. And stay connected with me because we're just getting started. And as always, I cannot wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new episode.